Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, oh man, you know, I may open up this conversation and unpack this thing today where it may touch some nerves. And I'm kind of sort of hoping that it does touch some nerves. I'm hoping that it touches some nerves to the point of folks realize it's time to take action. It's time to take action. The days of just sitting back and being complacent and being silent and all these various things, they have to be the time of yesterday, yesteryear. Sit back and allow our children to be subjective to unscrupulous practices and not be able to protect them. I look at it as our duty and our responsibility to be the protectors of our children. You know, society will have it so that as we send our children off to college, because actually it starts back in the years of high school, but as we send our children off to college, you know, society will have it so that they're telling us as parents, you know, the caregivers of these fine children, the ones that will probably love them unconditionally. Society is telling us that we need to pull back. Allow your children to make some decisions. You know, when my son first went to college and I called up just to check and see what his grades looked like, I was told back then that he had to sign a waiver form. Now, parents, you know that. If you have a child that's in college and you try to find out what his or her grades is all about, you may hear that conversation of, well, you need to submit a waiver, or your son needs to complete this waiver complete this waiver and then we'll be able to share your child's grades with you. Wow. Wow. I have to submit a waiver in order for the institution that I'm probably paying the bill. And that's the case in a lot of situations. I have to pay this bill, but I'm the one that needs to submit a waiver to say, okay, no, my child has to submit a waiver to say that could share my son's grades with me. I find that to be a little strange. Just a little strange. So as a result, folks, you know, of course, I immediately did what I had to do and took care of the situation. But I found that to be interesting. But that's how the institutions slowly slide in to cause that separation with our children, between us and our children. That's why you as a parent have to establish a very solid and firm foundation with your child prior to moving forward into the college realm. Because if you do that, then you're going to be okay. And you'll notice that the lines of communication will remain open. You'll help your child work through some things. And I think it'll be a win-win situation for all. Or should I say a win-win-win situation for all. Your child will win. The institution will win. And you as a family would win. So that's what we strive for in these situations. And in striving for that situation, then that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. But today, folks, I'm going to talk about, it's even kind of hard for me to get this thing out, you know. I'm going to talk about these college sex scandals, something that has been going on for a minute, as I learned over the last few weeks. But in learning that, I also learned that it has been ignored for quite some time. But enough is enough. You want to join in on the conversation with us today, you can dial 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. And we'd love to have you join in on this conversation, because I think this is a topic that we're going to really look forward to having your input. We're talking about college sex scandals today, folks. College sex scandals today. And love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear your thoughts, because this is something that will impact our children. And for the most part, and as I learned over the last few days in researching this thing, learned over the last few days, it has been kept quiet. Or athletes don't come directly out and talk about it right away. It's something that they hold on to. So it's affecting them from a psychological standpoint. But when we get back, folks, we'll open up and talk about a few of these names here. Strauss, Nassar, Anderson, and Sadusky. All right? We're going to stop and wait for a hot second. Listen to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and we'll be right back.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, graduate of University of Harvard. He say he's making smart cool. That's why I play that piece each and every time we come on to here on the air here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network, because I want those words to resonate in the minds of all our athletes and understand being smart. It's okay. You're not being looked down upon. You're not having to worry about going through some of the pressures and folks calling you. There's nothing wrong with that. He's making smart, cool. That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Graduated University of Harvard, played ball up there during the time he attended Harvard, and now he is off in the world doing his thing. Still playing ball, I think, overseas, and got some other things going on. We're going to try to get him on the air here within the next few months or so, because I haven't heard from him in a while, but I just wanted to share that piece I titled The College Experience. But folks, like I said, those names I mentioned, Strauss, Nassar, Anderson, and Sadusky. Parents, we entrust our children with people who we perceive to be professionals. Whether or not we're talking about athletic directors, whether or not we're talking about coaches, whether or not we're talking about medical professionals, whether or not we're talking about trainers. These individuals we entrust our children to. When we send them off to college, we send them there with the understanding and with the feeling that your child's being placed in good hands for the next 3 to 4 years. Now, whether or not we're talking about one of these individuals, or whether or not we're talking about all of them, or whether or not we're talking about 1,000 of them, the impact that they have on our children's lives is long-lasting. It's long-lasting. You know, folks, doing the little piece, listening to the College Experience, I reached out to one of our callers that joined us today, and I just want to hear what he has to say and just share some insights. So I'm going to bring this caller up. Good afternoon, caller. Welcome to the Parents Coach and Parents Network.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Hotep. Thanks for having me, and I'm the parent of a group of homeschooled children. It relates to your topic because what I found is that both myself, when I was in school and college, and my children experienced a lot of both. Yeah.
Because you threw me for a second there. What did you state that your name was, sir?
Hotep.
My man. Okay.
Yeah.
Hotep. I know it oh so well. My baby boy's name Imhotep. All right.
Oh,
all right.
So you know what's
let's
up.
Move forward.
Yeah.
Let's move forward.
Yeah.
We know a little.
I'm
something.
A bit older than your baby boy, though.
Just a bit old. Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Just
by
yeah.
all means, please go on.
Yeah. So I experienced in high school and college that I stood out in terms of academics and in various other themes, but often the expectation was for me to kind of coon, meaning not to be very Black-centric, Pan-African, any of that, but to just fit in. And so if we look at how some Black kids look at successful Black students, I think a part of it is that since most of the lessons themselves are not Black-centric and often are whitewashed versions of real history, I think other Black kids may look at the Black kids who are saying, oh my gosh, how are you? How was class today? And they hear that type of linguistics and they see the kids excelling. And often I think, and some of it is justified, it's excelling in white supremacy. And so if we fast forward to a child going to university or college, many of the fraternities and sororities have a lot of sexual stuff going on that the administrators don't know about or that they turn a blind eye to because it's just a college thing to do hazing and pull people's pants down and to have sex with females that are overweight as a challenge. And so then if we look at the corporate world, the same type of mindset exists with cliques of mainly men who would have been through certain rituals, whatever
exactly.
organization. Not all, by the way. Because there are some of us who decided not to get involved, but for many that I encountered, they did. And so when we look at Nassar, any of the other men that, not justifying what they did, but there's a system at play. I don't think these sexual abuses are abnormalities or statistical outliers. I think what it is just that some of them get caught. But in the big picture, whether it's politics or celebrities, how they live in their lifestyle, you know, Western culture from Greece to now is built on a lot of sexual, whether we call it deviation or whether we call it sexual abuse, it's a part of the culture. And the slaves that were, the bucks that were taken and butt raped, and the women that were raped and molested, and the children, which also is often not part as a part of, taught as a part of American history. If we peel back all that, we would see that there's no justification for the abuses, but there's clearly the chance for America and Western society to evaluate its uses and to say, okay, is this really something we want to do? Let's look at the Catholic Church. Let's look at Jehovah's Witnesses. We could go on, even on the religious front. So on one hand, America and the Western culture says we're the best of the best, and we're so great, and we're democracies. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of sexual abuse, and there had been a lot of slavery, which, of course, they want to deny because they don't want to teach critical race theory. So the big issue is the secrets, and those secrets are often hidden because a few university coaches, et cetera, get busted, but the majority go on to get the golden parachutes, and the children continue to be abused, including me. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity, brother.
No problem, brother. Anytime. I love you tuning in to share that insight and your knowledge of, you know, some of the things that we deal with and how this impacts our children. Hey, please, by all means, stay tuned and stay in touch with us here at the Parents Coach and Parents Network. Great to hear from
you
today.
Thank you, brother. Hotel.
Now, folks, you know, hey, that caller opened up, hey, something that we can all relate to, you know, and to take that and carry that over to the university setting, embed that into sports, where a lot of our children look at that leadership as being the gatekeepers. You know, like I've said several times here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network show, folks, our children, just by the way we have brought them up in life, are respectful. You know, you give them the wrong time, the wrong place, and the wrong setting, you may find them step outside that box from time to time. But for the most part, and a large majority of them, are very respectful. So they're not going to challenge an individual in a position that they will consider to be a position of authority. So, especially when we're talking about a medical professional, especially when we're talking about a coach that they have high regard for, much respect for, you know, just had the desire to play for this coach and to be in this coach's presence, you know, since they were little kids, based upon, you know, the coach's win-loss record, whatever. But our children gravitate towards these individuals and basically, you know, just go along with the program just to stay relevant, just to stay a part of the system. Or I probably could have better framed it by saying the program. But that's what's happening. And in one of the most recent situations, we have a case at the University of Michigan. Now, we've heard years ago about the Penn State situation with Sandusky. And then we heard about Strauss over at Ohio State. And then Michigan State was another situation with the gymnast. But the most recent situation of sexual scandal, and I say scandal and use that word very, you know, sincerely, this was going on right now. It is a scandal. Because this situation took place during the time that this individual was employed at the University of Michigan. He was employed at the University of Michigan starting way back in 1966 and leaving the University of Michigan in 2003. So for those 37 years, this individual held a key position in the medical field. The profession that 99% of the athletes will come in contact with, if it's nothing more than just to get a physical. This individual held this position, and in holding this position, Dr. Robert Anderson abused this position, abused his power to the point of now you have roughly over 800 victims that have reported being abused, sexually abused by this doctor. Now, I threw the number out there, over 800. That's the 800 that chose to report it. That's the sad part about it. That's the 800 that chose to report it. But I'm quite sure that there are more victims out there that have probably just decided they want to hold on to it, decided that for whatever reason, you know, they didn't want to speak about it, or may have passed on themselves since then. But if this individual was at this institution for 37 years and he had a standard practice of sexual abuse, sexual assault, student athletes, and just students that had to see the doctor, that was sent to the doctor for whatever reason, there's a problem. And there's no way in the world that any institution, nor the NCAA, should hold on to this and refuse to take action. Now, one thing that for this particular individual, he has now, well, since then has passed on. I believe he passed away in, I want to say, let me check my notes real quick. I believe he passed away in 2006. So 3 years, basically 3 years after he retired from the university, he passed away. But there's individuals that still at that institution that knew about it. There's individuals that played for this particular team and for this particular program that is denying that any of it could have ever happened. There is a College Hall of Fame coach, Coach Bo Schembechler. I think I'm pronouncing that last name correct. Schembechler. It was reported to him several times. And it being reported to him, you know, folks just had a tendency to say, oh, no, it didn't happen. Or folks wanted to defend him now. One coach in particular that I know is still defending Coach Schembechler because he played for him during that time period is Coach Harbaugh. Yeah, the legendary, probably will be in the Coaches Hall of Fame someday. But he, to this day, is denying that any of this ever took place. And he's standing by it. And, you know, he has somewhat of a pretty decent reputation in college football. So he's standing by it. So those that, you know, don't know anything different is standing by him. But when you have over 800, and I think I heard earlier that the last count was up to close to 850. But when all is said and done, this thing may be in the thousands of individuals, because we're talking about a 37-year time period where a student was sent in to see the doctor because the student may have had a contusion on his or her forearm, or may had, you know, something going on with one of their joints, their knee, their ankle, whatever. And this doctor took it upon himself to have to do a digital rectal exam. Yes, that's what I said. A digital rectal exam. I'm not understanding that, folks. I'm not understanding that. I'm not understanding how does that relate to a contusion on the forearm or a knee injury or an ankle injury. You know, that doesn't match up. But when it was reported to some of the officials at the institution, then the students was told, no, that's not the case. But then you have staff running around threatening students to send them to see this doctor who had by then acquired the name of Dr. Drop Your Draws. Wow. Are they serious? Are they serious? I have another caller here. I'm not sure if the caller wanted to join in on the conversation or just wanted to continue to listen. Area code 757-450. Welcome to the Parents Coach, the Parents Network.
Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Did you have something you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah, this is Coach Ray. You and I talk all the time. It's interesting that the conversation you and I had a couple of days ago, we were talking about this subject, and it's just we're discussing the mindset of how people operate and how the male operates in a situation where, based on conditioning, we're not at liberty to express what happened to us. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is you have men who are violated and taken advantage of in this situation, but because of historic conditioning and the mindset of people and how they view men, we feel that we can't say anything. So over time, the numbers added up because the shame and the embarrassment that the men would have felt for expressing themselves, which in turn would have actually probably saved tons of other guys had they spoke up, but because of mental conditioning, we're less likely to speak up because we don't want to be viewed as less than men.
You know, it's that masculinity piece that you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, I'm macho. He didn't do that to me. You know, that ain't my nature. You know, they'll come up with all kinds of reasoning why that they can't share this with nobody, or no, it didn't happen to them, in all actuality, knowing that it did happen. And you don't
exactly
want to share it. And the sad part about it is, you know, you hold on to it for this long time period. And in the end, man, it just messes you up because you're carrying this in your mind for quite some time.
Right. And you think about the guys who now feel liberated because it came out, but we're talking guys who probably were holding on to this for like 20, 30 years.
Yes. One of the key gentlemen that is currently camped outside of the university president's home, right there on the campus of University of Michigan, John Vaughn. He is now 51 years old. So you figure it had to be well over 25 years ago when he was in college playing ball.
Right.
You know, so he's held on to this for at least 25 years. And there are several others out there that have joined him in his campsite that have held on to it as well.
And that's what I was saying earlier this week. The issue with that is because they're holding on to it, and then it becomes a burden, it starts to manifest in other ways.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Like the overindulgence of alcohol, drug abuse, physical abuse to their kids, verbal abuse to their spouse, because they have to figure out, like, they don't want to feel less than a man. So this, a lot of that stuff creates other issues when you don't talk about it.
That's right. They hold on to it for years. They, you know, the feeling shame, feeling guilty, thinking for whatever reason that they caused this, or, you know, somebody putting pressure on them. You know, there's so many things out there that is misconceptions and things that, you know, misbeliefs that they need to get over with, get past. And there need to be some immediate vehicle out there that they can go to for some type of counseling, immediate counseling. Because, you know, we're right at the point right now where this makes no sense. We got another caller on here, and I think this caller may have something that they want to join in as well on this conversation. Area code 615. Welcome to the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Well, well, well. If it isn't a voice from the past, I haven't heard this voice in quite some time. Hello there. Yes, ma'am.
First, let me say thank you so much for having the conversation today, this conversation, because it is super necessary and super needed. So thank you for, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and you are one of the few people who is willing to tackle sexual abuse in the college world. So thank you, thank you, thank you for having the conversation.
I appreciate you. So did you have something that you wanted to add to this particular conversation?
Yes. I'm going to say one of the things that I want people to understand, because a lot of times people say, well, why didn't someone come forward? Part of it, part of that conversation is we don't make victims or people who've experienced trauma from a sexual perspective feel comfortable coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
We're free. And in these instances, when things are covered up, it's truly covered up because of the reputation of the school, or there is the thought process, well, you know, let's not talk about it because the person, the individual, the coach, the AD, or what have you, that person, they're, you know, they're winning, or they have a family. It's all about asking the victim to sacrifice their thoughts, their feelings, their spirit, so that somebody else can benefit and keep winning for the program, or keep making the school look good so that they can have additional donors. In all of the instances where I have observed abuse to happen in the college world, the cover-up has to do with the school's image and not alienating donors, or not causing the school to have a winning record in insert sport. And so if we don't win, that means we don't get TV revenue. It's very unfortunate, but 100% of the time, in my opinion, when it, in this area, it's always putting the reputation of the school and any money the school may get by virtue of TV revenue, ticket sales, or alumni donations above the best interests physically, emotionally, mentally of the people who've been abused.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, that they, and you and I, we've talked about this several times. You know, they take the business aspect of the program over the health and well-being of any one of our children that's attending that institution. You know, I'm not even going to say any athlete. I'm going to say our children, because that's who they are first and foremost before we put that label on them as being an athlete. You are so correct. You know, as we think about the Sandusky situation, you know, there was only 33 victims that came forward. And just like the caller that just dropped off, I think had more young men felt comfortable or had some counseling, there probably would have been more that came forward. You know, you got 33 victims and the institution ended up paying out or ended up costing them like $109 million. Okay, psh, all right. But, you know, you look at the Strauss situation, 185 victims came forward. And the institution ended up paying out $45 million. The NASA situation, which is, you know, a more recent situation at Michigan State, 300 victims and the institution end up paying out $500 million. So this here situation with Dr. Anderson, well over 800 victims have already stepped up and have already reported it. You know, no telling what the number is going to be at the end of the day that the institution will have to pay out. But that's not the important piece. You know, let's not put our children's livelihood in the life of future potential leaders in this society. Let's not put that on a dollar sign. You know, whether or not it's $45 million, $500 million, $109 million, or whatever the number comes out with this Anderson situation, and that's why the president hasn't met with anybody yet, because they're trying to figure out how fast they're going to be able to throw some money at them and what the number's going to look like. But that's not the important piece. You're ruining somebody's life for the rest of their life. Their livelihood has been ruined when a man has been violated or a young lady has been violated at that nature, especially by someone that they trust, someone that they believe that was a position of authority they held high regard for, much respect for, so on and so forth. You know, I just don't even know what to say or where to start on how to fix this thing. But you had anything else that you wanted to add?
I would say that it would start with us, because we believe it's acceptable. Even if you're not talking about sexual abuse, college campuses in general, statistically speaking, the most dangerous place for young women. There's a documentary called The Hunting Ground that speak to this, but the numbers are overwhelmingly out there from multiple states that we don't provide safe spaces for women when they go to college. Add into that, we don't give sexual assault survivors in general an avenue to report that is safe and effective. Think about this. They were contemplating giving the University of Miami football program the death penalty a few years ago over some lap dances and some impermissible benefits. Nassar violated 300 mm-hmm. girls. What?
Yep.
And then Michigan State's their basketball program had some sexual assault allegations. Tell me why they have sports. Tell me why.
Exactly.
Why aren't we talking about the death penalty? And I'm a Michigan fan. I love Michigan. And if these allegations prove to be true, why are we not having conversations? Why does Baylor have a football program? Why do these institutions still have programs? It's because those programs generate revenue. And we have decided as a society that we don't value our children enough to say it is unacceptable for you to throw some money at the problem. You have to materially change the way that you do business.
You are so true, so true. You couldn't have said that. I couldn't have said that any better. you know, even looking at this situation here at Michigan, and we're talking about when the legendary Hall of Fame coach Bo Schembechler was there. You know, there are even situations where his own adopted son reported to him that he had been violated at the age of 10 by Dr. Anderson. And you know what Schembechler's response was to that? Never talk about this again. He harshly scolded the young man and told him to never talk about this again. You know, I don't want to hear this. Never talk about this again. Are you serious? Your child just reported to you that he was sexually assaulted by a member of the same institution in which you work, a staff member. And your only response is, and this was all spoken at a press conference. I don't want to hear this. Never talk about this again. And that was the ending conversation to that. You know, another freshman reported the same thing back in 77. And he was told by the coach, once again, toughen up. So that means that, you know, well, I'll put it like this. The allegations are, allegedly, he shared this with the coach, and the coach's response was, toughen up. So I'm going to leave it at that, not saying that he definitely told the coach. The coach's response was, toughen up. So with all that being said, parents, what is our role? What is our responsibility? What is our duty? You know, we see this stuff play out. We understand that whether or not we're talking about our male students, whether or not we're talking about our female students, whomever, we're watching this play out. They have no avenue to vent. They have no avenue to reach out to somebody and feel comfortable. You know, we have to do something from our perspective to ensure that our children feel safe, understand and know that they're safe, and know that they can communicate with us and we can help them move forward. If that means crushing this program, crush the program, you know, because at the end of the day, they still have to have their own dignity. Were you getting ready to say something? I thought I heard you.
I was going to say, I don't think that enough adults are where you are willing to crush a program. If we were, things would be different. We like to believe that the person who abuses a child or a young adult is a stranger. We don't like to think that the pastor that I know and trust, or the school teacher that I know and trust, the coach that came into my living room and sat down and promised me that he or she would take care of my baby. Surely they can't be the ones abusing my child. But more and more, we're finding out that abuse does not stop when kids get to college. And we, as parents, have not gotten to the point where we are willing to burn stuff down on behalf of our children. And I'm going to say, in my recent memory, there's maybe one or two parents that I can remember that would say that if something genuinely happened to one of their kids, that they were at a university ready to take up arms, ready to burn it all down. As I would think about a few years ago, Justin Combs played football at UCLA, and the coach, Maura was the coach at that time. I can't remember. Don't quote me. But remember when Sean Combs went to UCLA and he was about to get into a fight with the coach because the way that his son was treated.
Yes.
How many parents actually said, "You got that's right, do that. If they mistreat your son, be up there and be about your business. Be ready to fight for yours." That was not what I heard. I heard a lot of parents saying, "Well, he's a man. You shouldn't. Your son is not in high school anymore. He's a man in college. He should fight his own battles." You either believe that you are your child's advocate or you don't. And too many of us don't believe that. We don't actually, we say we are our child's advocate, but we don't live that way. We allow people who come into our living room to lie to us. We know they lie to us. To control our kids in ways that we don't even control our kids. All because we're afraid, in my opinion, we're afraid or we're apathetic.
Yes. That you are so true. I've seen a similar situation a few years back where not only the child was ready to stand up for, you know, his own space because the coach spoke out of turn, but he also had the support of his teammates and the parents had a deep discussion, long discussion with that coaching staff. Since then, the coaching staff is no longer in place. But then again, also that athlete was kind of shunned moving forward. And when I say shunned, was probably put in a position where, you know, I realistically think that the athlete had the potential to move on and play at the next level. And when I say the next level, I mean the professional level. But due to a number of things, I think he missed the opportunity, which is really sad, really sad. But, you know, we as parents have to figure out where we need to step in and where our role starts. Because we are talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds, 21-year-old, 22-year-old. You cannot, parents, and stop the madness, stop the craziness. Say that, oh, yes, he's a man. You know, he should be able to speak up for himself. Or, you know, she's a mature woman now. She's no. Let me say this. Now, when it comes down to our daughters, we're ready to speak. We speak oftentimes quick, fast, and in a hurry. But not enough. And I think whether or not it's our daughters or our sons, we should still hold that same torch and ready to speak up and speak out. Because just like, you know, just like you just said, if we are our child's biggest advocate, we have to show that. Not just talk about it, not just echo it from time to time. We have to actually show it. Show it. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to the conversation?
No, just want to say thank you for having the discussion. It was really good to have the number one, you know, parents blog in the Mid-Atlantic. You know, you get a lot of reach. It's really good to have it. I mean, it means something. It means that you're willing to take a chance. Like, a lot of people don't talk about sexual assault on college campuses because they're afraid.
You are so true. You are so true. Well, thank you for joining us today. And, folks, hey, if you think that you heard that voice before, yes, that is the one and only. If there's another, it must be a phony. Sports Mom U, a.k.a. my friend, Miss Jamesetta Cleveland. And you can catch her live every Thursday at what time?
6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Live on the what page?
We are the Sports Family Network, and we do the business of sports and social networking podcast.
All right. All right. Folks, like I said, that's Sports Mom University. And you can also catch them live every Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Time on the Sports Family Network page. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, and we truly appreciate you chiming in and sharing your insight, your knowledge, and your understanding of this particular topic today. And I know that you have more that you can share with us.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Folks, you know, and we just touched on Jess talking about this here recent case with Dr. Anderson. But we probably could unpack hundreds of cases when we're talking about sexual assault on college campuses. And that number could even grow if we focus just on students alone, not even talking about athletes, just on students alone. You know, but that's the sad part. But we as parents need to devise a way where we can communicate with our children to let them know that we're going to be there to support them through situations like this here. You know, one thing that the Parents Coach of Parents Network wants to push towards is creating a advocacy group, an advocacy group for the purpose of our children being able to reach out. You know, if there was a sexual assault, reach out to somebody, somebody that they will feel comfortable with. Reach out to somebody if you feel as though that you're overindulging. You know, like one of our callers said today, what happens when you go through that situation? That leads to some other things. Some other things such as alcohol abuse, drug abuse, you know, all these other various things that come about. And see, all that could be alleviated. All that could be handled once we get to a point where we're able to communicate with our children, once we're able to get to a point where our children feel safe to know that they can reach out to somebody that's going to hold their situation in highest regard and not turn it into a media circus. Because, see, that becomes the pressure. When it becomes a media circus and all of a sudden folks want to talk about it, folks want to parade you in front of the TV, folks want to parade you in front of the radio or the podcast, you know, folks want to parade your picture all over the place, and now folks are looking at you from a different light. Oftentimes, that's not what our children want if they experience something like that. They want to be able to heal and recover. And the healing and recovery starts with our support, our unquestionable support. You know, if your daughter came to you and said that, you know, she was at a party and, you know, some things was going on and, you know, she felt as though somebody took the advantage of, please don't question her. Why were you out that time of night anyway? No, parents, that's not the answer. Well, why didn't you speak up about this before? Come on now. When they're opening up to you, we just have to have those attentive ears and just listen. Please listen. Allow our children to share that insight with us. Don't shut them down before they even have a chance to open up. Be able to be that person that really and truly listens. That way you can, and at the same time, when you're listening, you have to be able to maintain your composure, think through the situation, and help work towards a solution. Because if you can't do that, You could be the greatest listener of all times. But if you're not able to help them work through the situation or help advise them to steer them in the right direction, then you haven't done anything other than just listen, which is a huge part. I can't say you haven't done anything. That's a huge part. But we want to be able to steer them in the right direction to start that healing process and that recovery right away as soon as possible. Folks, for about the last 55 minutes, we've been talking about college scandals. You know, I started out talking about parents. We entrust our children to who we perceive as professionals. These individuals could be anybody from athletic director to a college coach to a trainer to a medical professional, whether or not I'm talking about one of them in one isolated situation or whether or not I'm talking about thousands of them. The impact that they have on our children's lives is everlasting. You know, some of the recent situations that we all know about and made mainstream media is the Sandusky case, the Strauss case, the Nassar case, and now the Anderson case. And if you don't know about the Anderson case, you should. If you have a child that's involved in sports, you should. Because the simple fact that this could have been your child going into an institution running into the same situation. Because this individual, this predator, was able to operate for 37 years, from 1966 to 2003, 37 years. He joined that institution in 1966. And to date, well over 800 victims have reported. Did the coaches know? Yes. When you have son, you know, they identified him in an article that I read as the estranged adopted son. No, the son of the head coach that reported that he had been violated by this doctor, Dr. Robert Anderson, when he was 10 years old. When you have the son that reported that, and the best thing that you can tell that child is, I don't want to hear this. Never talk about this. Never talk about this again. Then you have another player that reported while he was a freshman back in 1977. And the best thing that the coach came up with as an answer was toughen up. For real? Parents, we have a responsibility, and it can't stop with just sending our children away. Let's pull together. Let's work with and through each other. Let's make sure that we are our child's biggest advocates. Join the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Go on Facebook, click on the link, say, hey, do you like the page? Send me an inbox message, and let's get this thing rolling. I want to have PCP networks throughout the states, throughout the United States. I want to have programs where we are advocating for our children, where we are able to talk to state entities as far as what's going on at the middle school, high school, and college levels for our children. It's important, vitally important. Folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network, the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. Yes, I said it. It's the number one sports parent podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. Check us out. We're live every Sunday at 3 p.m. You can check us out on Facebook at Parents Coaching Parents Network and Instagram and Twitter at PCP Network. So until this time, next week, hey. You have a great week. We out of here.